Matthew 5 is the first of three scriptures I want to read to you. And the message today is the accountability of all God's creatures to their Creator. Matthew 5, look at verse 25. Agree with thine adversary quickly, while thou art with him in the way, lest, haply, the adversary deliver thee to the judge, and the judge deliver thee to the officer, and thou be cast into prison. Verily I say unto you, thou shalt by no means come out thence, till thou have paid the last farthing. Now, Luke chapter 12. Verse 16. Luke 12:16. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he reasoned within himself, saying, what shall I do, because I have not where to bestow my fruits? And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night is thy soul required of thee. And the things which thou hast prepared, who shall they be? Notice that. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night is thy soul required of thee. Now, chapter 16. Verse 1. And he said also unto the disciples, there was a certain rich man who had a steward, and the same was accused unto him that he was wasting his goods. And he called him and said unto him, what is this that I hear of thee? Render the account of thy stewardship, for thou canst be no longer steward. Let us speak to God again in prayer. Our Father, we are thankful that among all the literature that is passed out among us, there is in the hands of thy creatures the Word of God. We know that this book is not like any other book. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. We believe that, our Father. And it is profitable. It is illuminating. It is that which instructs us and keeps us from evil and shows us the way in which we are to go. We thank you, Father, for the Word of God. We thank you for the promises, for the encouragement, and we thank you for the warnings as well. And we pray that we shall take these to heart. We remember what thy Word says, he that being often reproved hardeneth his neck, shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. Our God, let us not be those who harden the neck, but thy word also speaks about a broken and a contrite heart thou wilt not despise. So not a hardened neck, our God, but broken and contrite hearts, may they be ours, we pray. So prepare the hearts of those who are listening today, and the lips of him who speaks, and cleanse from sin. You have promised if we confess our sins, thou shalt be faithful and just to forgive and cleanse, and to remove all unrighteousness from us. And that is what we desire today, to be clean vessels in thy hand. So bless our coming together, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Eventually, what you have done in this life is going to catch up with you. Listen to these scriptures. It is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. Listen to this scripture. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that every man may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Listen to this. I saw a great white throne. Books were opened. You say, all of those verses enforce what you said at first, that what I have done in this life will eventually catch up with me. Well, that should bring us to our senses. It should pull us up short and make us consider the life that we are living. However, listen to the voice of Satan. Don't you understand how much time you have? It says, it is appointed unto men once to die, and after this the judgment. So that means that I'm safe as long as I'm in this world, after death, the judgment. And this, it says, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. You say the judgment seat of Christ is not in this world. The great white throne, why, those things are ever so distant. So, at least, if I want to live a life of sin, if I want to do those things that are pleasing in my sight, then I am safe until I die. There may be some truth to what you say about facing God after death. But now, I'm free to live as I please in this world until I die. But that is as false as the fool saying in his heart, there is no God. What causes me to fear is this. At times, having considered what I've done in this life, I fear remembering that it's going to be brought up at the judgment seat of Christ. But that can wait. What makes me most fear is this. What I do today in this life has its effects upon me today in this life. You say, how is that? What do you think it means in Luke 12 when I read you the portion about the man to whom God had been so good? He had a bumper crop, and it was so large he had to tear down his barns and build greater. And he was thinking of all that he was going to do. And God said to him, thou fool, this night thy soul is required of thee. You say, then his attitude, what he did, caught up with him in this life. Yes. In Luke 16, it says this. There was a certain rich man who had a steward, and this steward was accused unto him of wasting his goods. And he said to him, render an account of thy stewardship. Right now, all of you who profess to be servants of God, if God said, lay before me an account of all that you've done with the gifts and the blessings I have bestowed upon you, give an account now, what would you tell God? Because this man did not have a tomorrow. He said, render an account now. You can no longer be steward. But you see, all of us are thinking this way. I haven't been living as I should, but there is tomorrow. And tomorrow, I will start living for God. So eventually, when I stand before God, I can render an account. But in Luke 16, it wasn't in the life to come. It was in this life. Do you understand? And in Matthew 5, there are those who are trying to make it mean some spiritual deep interpretation. But what the Savior is telling you, first of all, and most plainly, is this, that if you don't pay your bills, you will go to jail, and God will have no pity on you. You say, what? Yes. It says, agree with thine adversary quickly while you are with him in the way. And the picture is ever so funny. The man to whom you owe money has got you by the arm, and he's dragging you down to the officer. And you had better agree with him quickly that you're going to pay him. You've been stalling him. You've been putting him off. And the Lord said, agree with him quickly. Because if not, he's going to deliver you to the judge. And the judge will deliver you to the officer. And the officer will cast you into prison. And you will not come out until you've paid the last farthing. And so the Lord Jesus says this, that if you do not pay your bills, it is perfectly logical that you go to jail, that you're penalized for this, and that you're not going to come out until you've paid the last farthing. You say, why, that means that I am accountable to my Creator for what I do in this life, and God can call me to account in this life, as he shall certainly call me to account in the life to come. And that is what is true. But let me ask you, having told you the one thing, that after death the judgment, did that startle you so much that you said, oh, I'm going to start living for God immediately? No. You keep thinking that there is a tomorrow, that you can do what you please, but perhaps at the last you will repent and call upon the name of the Lord, and you shall be saved. But what you do in this life, you may do with impunity. God will not judge you. You see, judgment is after death. After death, the judgment. But I've read you these scriptures, and I will tell you more, that judgment and accountability are in this life as well as in the life to come. And that's what we do not like. And for that reason, we must turn to God now and start living for God now and serving him as he exhorts us in his word to serve him, because if not, he can say, thou fool, this night thy soul is required of thee. You say, he can call me to task tonight? Yes, and not only so, but if it comes up that you have been dishonest in your accounts with God, he can say, render me an account now. Your service as a steward is terminated. You say, if this is so, then there is no reprieve. It means that the life that I live now affects what happens to me in this world, and God can deal with me here as well as there, and that is the truth that I want to get across and want to grip your soul. Because some of you have a life that is a shambles, and you don't know why it's that way. You live as you please. You sin when you want to. You disobey God when you want to. And you wonder why your life is not going the way that you would want it to. And the reason is that God says, you fool, this night thy soul is required of thee. God requires the past, but God requires the present. Therefore, every action that I take in this life, I must give an account of to God, because how long I live in this life is determined by the life that I live before God. How long do you young people expect to live? You're not going to live as long as God wants you to live if you sin. It says the wicked live not out half their days. You say half their days? Yes. The righteous will live out their days to the full. the wicked live not out half their days. Why? Because I will give you an example. There was a son who rose up against his father. His name was Absalom. And this young, beautiful man, because he sinned against his father, he was caught by his head in an oak tree. And the general of an army comes and thrusts spears through his body, and he dies. The wicked did not outlast their days. And I'm told about people, young fools that rush around and drive automobiles at a mad speed, have wrecks, and they're killed. How they fill their bodies with cocaine and dope and alcohol and die. Why? Because the wicked did not outlast their days. There is ever so much practical truth to Christianity as well as spiritual truth. Listen to what it says in Peter. It says, he that willeth to see life and see good days. Do you want to live and see good days? You say, yes. It says, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking guile, and let him turn from evil and do good. You say, well, I want to see life and see good days. Then watch what you say and watch what you do, or else you will be like a wicked man and you live not out half your days. And this is why we fail to understand that God is not mocked. We take this verse, be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. We say, well, that means he's going to reap it in the world to come. Yes, but he's going to reap it in this life as well. And that's what we fail to understand. Listen to what God says to this man whom he graciously healed in John chapter 5. I rejoiced that this man, having been healed, was found in the temple. Is it not strange that some people that receive blessings from God are not found in the temple when the hour comes? They're found elsewhere. But he was found in the temple. And would you expect the Savior to speak words like these to a man who was in the temple, a worshiper who had been healed? He said, behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest a worse thing befall thee. You say, oh, that's not a very encouraging message to receive from the Savior. Oh, yes, it is. For this reason, he lets you know that sin brought you to your present condition once, and in his grace he forgave you that sin and healed you. He said, sin no more. Continue in sin no more. Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. He said, sin no more, lest the worst thing befall thee. You say, then sin causes the afflictions of God to come upon a man? Why, of course they do. And in his grace, he may withhold immediate judgment upon you. But as it says in Timothy, it says, some men's sins are evident, going before unto judgment. And some men's sins, they follow after. But eventually, what you do in this life is going to catch up with you. But what is so sad is that God judges you now in this life, or you who smile and say, God has never judged me for my sin, then cry to God to judge you for your sin, because that will bring you to your senses. Do you not understand that if he lets you go on in your insanity, that he will judge you? But when you stand before the great white throne, that is when he will judge you. But if he judges you in this life, then you can be brought to your senses as that young son in the far country. When he was brought to destitution, he said, how many of my father's servants have bread enough to spare, and I'm starving here? He said, I'm going to rise and go to my father. Let me ask you, that young man in the far country, had he had plenty of money, health, and friends surrounding him, do you think he would have ever wanted to go back to his father? You say, no. But what brought him to his senses? You said, when he came to himself because of destitution, then the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. And all of you who say, God has smiled on me. I remember a man telling me that to this day. God has always smiled on me. But the smile of God may be your death knell. That is the sad thing. And when one afflicts your soul from heaven, then rejoice in it. Because most of us, when we are at the point of death or in a severe illness, at least we will start thinking about God. And when we face death, so many people start making promises to God. It's like those men that were steering the ship in which Jonah was. When a storm came on the sea and they could do nothing to escape that storm, eventually it said they made vows. Why? Because here I face death and now I've come out of it. I'm promising God that I'm going to live a different life from now on. I see. And what if the ship had sailed on smoothly throughout the sea until it arrived at its destination? What vows do you think they would have made to God? What promises to God? So for all of you who have had afflictions, thank God for them. Because if a man will not lift his eyes to heaven, if he is upon the bed of affliction, his eyes are toward heaven and he's more inclined to look toward God. I've seen this. I remember years ago, a landlady, and she was always filled with frivolity, but I saw her when she was severely ill, and that woman who wanted nothing to do with me said, preacher, pray for me, pray for me. You understand? As long as you're in health, who cares about God? But when you're sick, you will start thinking about God. But I want you to understand that we are accountable to our Creator, all of God's creatures, believers and unbelievers. We are accountable to Him for what we do in this life that shall be brought up at the judgment seat of Christ or at the great white throne, or it may be brought up in this life. God will have to deal with us now, and that's the sad thing. And I want to bring some examples to your attention. I said believer and unbeliever. Because no man lives unto himself, and no man dies unto himself. Now, that is true when a person has devoted himself to God. Whether we live or whether we die unto the Lord. But at the same time, you think you can live indifferently toward God and die when you please and live as you please, but this is not so. This is what God told to Belshazzar. Belshazzar had blasphemously taken all of the goblets and the beautiful things that were associated with the temple of God, and he and all his lewd, vulgar multitudes were using those holy goblets and all of those things that adorned the temple. They were using them to their own glory. And finally, when that writing came on the wall, and Daniel had to interpret it, this is what he said. He said, the God in whose hand thy breath is, and whose are all thy ways, thou hast not glorified. And he said, this night your kingdom is taken away from you. Do you understand that? Do you understand that the God in whose hand your breath is, you do not live and breathe as long as you please. Your breath is in the hand of God. And God, who first breathed into man's nostrils the breath of life, he can take that breath back when he chooses. And when he says, thou fool, this night or this day, whenever he chooses, you are accountable to him. Not that you live as long as you please and you arrange your life and all is going to go well because you were wise in your arrangement of life, your investments, your taking care of your body, because it says, come now, you that say, tomorrow we will go into this city and stay there a year and get gain. It said, you will, you know not what the morrow is going to bring. You should say, if the Lord will, I shall do this, or I shall do that. And Belshazzar heard the voice of Daniel say, tonight, tonight thy kingdom is departed from thee. Listen to this. The father of Belshazzar, whom God had so graciously blessed, Nebuchadnezzar, he spoke to him, revealed him his dream the first time, and then he warned him. But finally, having been warned, one day he was walking about his estate. He said, is not this great Babylon, which I have built for the royal dwelling place, by the might of my power and for the glory of my excellence? And as soon as he said that, the holy ones from heaven said, it's required of thee that judgment fall upon you. And immediately he was stricken with insanity, and for 7 years he went out as a wild man, and he ate grass as an ox. Why? Because he was accountable to God. It's not that he did what he chose, that he blasphemed and boasted as long as he chose, but he did it until God's angel said, that is enough. But now, the sad thing is this. In the case of Belshazzar, his kingdom was completely taken away. In the case of Nebuchadnezzar, it was only the judgment of God for 7 years. And it says this, after that period of judgment had expired, it said he lifted up his eyes to heaven, and his sanity returned to him, and he blessed the God of heaven. For this reason, at times when God calls us to account, we are blessed, and we come to our senses. Nebuchadnezzar came to his senses. The young son in the far country came to his senses. But there are some who will not come to their senses. And it says in the book of Revelation, when the judgment of God is falling upon them, it says, they gnaw their tongues for pain, and they hate God for the pain he's sending upon them. But they do not repent. And for that, they are held accountable in this life and when they stand before God. And this is the condemnation. When they stand before God, they're going to answer to him in their accountability to his son. God has set out invitations to man. He has sent you an invitation to turn from your sins and trust Christ as Savior. And as in the Bible, again and again, the invitations are ignored. Why? Because a man had some cows back in those days. A man had some land back in those days. A man had a wife back in those days. And so, instead of having oxen to plow, we have just purchased a new tractor and we have to go out and try it. Or we bought a new parcel of land and we have to go out and see it. Or we are in love now and we cannot pay any attention to the invitation you give us. And God said, all right, all right. And so his judgment falls upon all of those that ignore his invitation and understand it is in this life, not in the life to come, but in this life that judgment falls because they ignore his invitation. Then, in the life to come, they will pay eternal consequences, but you pay the consequences of time in this life, and that is what God wants you to know. And God says, this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds are evil. It says, the Lord Jesus came unto his own, and his own received him not. And he said to those who would not have him, he said, unless you believe that I am he, you shall die in your sins. And that's what God wants you to know. In this life, if you believe not that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, that he is the promised Messiah, God the Son, if you do not believe that, he said, you shall die in your sins. And so man is accountable for the way that he treats the Son who came from heaven. The Father said, when he sent the invitations, he sent one invitation, another. And it was refused. Finally, he said, I will send unto them my son. They will reverence him. But they said, this is the son. This is the heir. Let us kill him, and the inheritance shall be ours. And they did kill him. but in killing the Son, they destroyed themselves. And so God held them accountable in this life, and he destroyed that in which he himself had given them the glory, that magnificent temple. The Lord said this because they rejected his Son, because they refused his invitation to the feast. It said God was wroth, and he sent his armies and destroyed those murderers and burned their city and destroyed their magnificent temple. And so that's what God does, even with those buildings that he himself desired to be built for his own glory, because man is accountable to God in this life as well as the next. I've given you examples from the Old Testament. Listen to the New Testament. Here is what Christians fail to understand. You say, by grace are you saved through faith. I'm eternally secure. God will never do anything to me. Do you remember Ananias and Sapphira? You say, yes. They were examples of hypocrites, of liars. They pretended to be so generous to God. They wanted to set an example before the whole church. So they sell a parcel of land, and instead of taking the complete sum of it and giving it to God, they held back part of the price. And they said, we've given it all to God. And Peter said, Ananias, why hast thou sought to deceive God? He said, you've not lied unto God, not lied unto men, but unto God. And immediately he fell down at his feet dead. And his wife came in later, and she was asked, did you give this much money? Is this all the money that you received for that purchase of land? Yes, it's all. It said, you have agreed together with your husband to lie to God. And she fell down dead. And so I'm telling you that God holds you accountable to tell the truth in this life, to pay your bills in this life, to live above reproach in this life. Listen to what the author of Hebrews says. He said, pray for us, for we are persuaded that we have a good conscience to desire to live honorably before all men. Tell me, do you have that good conscience? He said, we have a good conscience, desiring to live honorably before all men. But there are those who are willing to cheat and lie and steal and commit fornication and adultery. They have no desire to live honorably, and they think that they shall be exempt from the judgment of God until they stand before their Maker to ascertain whether they go to heaven or hell. But that is not the time that God judges you. He judges you in this life as well. And that's what he wants you to understand. And so we have believers upon whom the judgment of God falls. Just because you shall never experience the pangs of hell because you've trusted Christ as Savior, do not think that life cannot be made miserable for you down here because of your unwillingness to carry out God's will in your life. He can bring you to the point of death as Ananias and Sapphira, and as it says in 1 Corinthians 11, because of some coming to the Lord's Supper irreverently, it said, because of your persistence in this, some of you are weak, and some of you are sickly, and some of you sleep. You've slept the sleep of death. And he says, this is the judgment that's falling upon you. So what God would have us to know, that all of his creatures are accountable to him, and that accountability begins in this life. And if there is any intelligence in you, then start living for God in this life. Desire to enjoy life and see good days by the things you say and refrain from saying, and by the things you do, and by God's grace, he will give you long life and good days. Time is gone. Let us pray. Our Father, we pray that you shall forgive us for ever thinking that we are independent of thee, that we may live as we please, and that we may die as we choose. Let us understand, our God, that you allow ever so many things in this life causing us to think that this is true. But we remember about that rich man who fared sumptuously every day and dressed in gorgeous apparel. But it says he died, and in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torment. our God. Some of us you let live in splendor and mirth and enjoyment till the last day, but then the judgment. And some of us you embrace cause to be called to account in this life, and we come to our senses. So, our Father, let us come to ourselves and arise and return to the Father. And let all of us as Christians say, we have a good conscience, and we desire to live honorably in all things before God. Call us not to account in this life, our Father, and we shall not be called to account in the next. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen.